In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do you ever have those times that you're going over something? And you've been over something many times. Maybe you're driving the same route you've driven who knows how many times. Maybe you're going into a building into which you've been hundreds of times. Maybe you've listened to a passage of Scripture that you've heard jillions of times, only to discover something new. Only to all of a sudden picture, see, realize, hear, gosh, I've never seen that before. Gosh, I didn't know that was there. Gosh, I didn't know that would happen. Those types of things. We all have those kinds of things that happen to us from time to time. When I was first struck with the idea of preaching on the church, Miriam, I'm looking for slides. Sorry. When I was first struck, thank you, struck with the idea of preaching on the church and using some images from the New Testament, I have to admit I didn't think of this one, the community of the Spirit. And as I was doing some reading about images of the church in the New Testament, those biblical images that we find, I discovered this image. I didn't even find it in each of the encyclopedia entries that I read, or even in some of the other resources that I read. Not everyone talked about it. Now, doesn't that sound exciting? You thought the life of a pastor was rather glamorous until you find out he reads encyclopedia entries. Well, you can learn a lot of things reading a good Bible encyclopedia from time to time. Today we look at the church as the community of the Spirit. Now, let me give you the idea behind the community of the Spirit, and then we'll kind of walk our way through it looking at some examples through Scripture. There's going to be a number of Scriptures today. A number of them will be on the screen, and hopefully that helps. And hopefully I made them big enough you can read them. I'm trying to make sure I get font sizes big enough. But here's the idea. We're going to see something from the life of Jesus found in the Gospel of Luke. And then we're going to see something about the early church found in the book of Acts. And then we'll also discover, as we look there, as they were doing what compared to the life of Jesus. As they were living that out in the early church, and how the Holy Spirit was at work in the early church to fulfill what Jesus had been doing, to carry on the works of Jesus as the early church and those early representatives of Jesus there at the very beginning of the church. But we also need to see what the Holy Spirit is doing and using the church to do today, and to do the works of Jesus in our time. So that includes us. What is the Holy Spirit doing with a people known as Emmanuel Baptist Church to do the works of Jesus in our day and time? Well, we start with... Oops. Helps if I go the right direction. That's my fault. Sorry. Uh-oh, now I messed it up. Oh. There we go. My fault. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. We look at John the Baptist announces the coming of the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered and said to them, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire," it says. So John the Baptist is announcing this one Jesus coming who would give the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts, we find the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we find the Holy Spirit showing up in the book of Acts. But right at the beginning of Acts, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So he's telling them the Holy Spirit is coming, and that there would be this Holy Spirit presence. Well, What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is that? And what does that mean? Now, that could be a whole sermon in and of itself, maybe even more than one. So this is going to be kind of quick. It will not be comprehensive and not completely in-depth. You just don't have time for all of that. The Holy Spirit joins believers and their Lord by placing them in the body of Christ. As they're saved and places them in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." All Christians, the Holy Spirit is at work with all Christians for personal regeneration, to change our lives. The Holy Spirit is at work in you to do that, bring that about. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells all believers and comes to live with them and be at work in them, and how wonderful that is. And as the Holy Spirit is at work in us to bring that about and coming into our lives. The biblical information nowhere talks about that there is a salvation and then there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit later. No, those go together. Those are joined together. It's not something that happens later. They all come together. There are some people that will argue that, but yet, I think as we look at the Scriptures, we see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with salvation, and the Holy Spirit coming to live with us and dwell with us in our salvation and being at work in us. We have to understand that every person saved today is saved in the same way. As Jesus Christ is saving people all over the world, Jesus Christ is bringing people everywhere to salvation. It works the way with every person. And that as every person comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is at work drawing them to Christ, changing their lives, and coming to live and dwell with them all at the same time. So we have this baptism of the Spirit, and we find it worked in Jesus, and that Jesus would bring this one, and that Jesus announces His coming, and then He comes at the beginning of Acts and comes upon the church, and then from that point on we see Him coming to every person. But we also find an empowering of the Spirit, an empowering of the Spirit. As we look at Jesus being empowered for His mission by the Spirit, Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while He was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, 'You are My beloved Son, and You I am well pleased.'" So we see this symboling of the Holy Spirit, this coming upon Him and all that would be there. And then for the early church as well, the Holy Spirit empowers the early church for their witness in the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." The Holy Spirit hadn't yet come. The Holy Spirit was coming. And Jesus is telling them of that. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will have power to do what I've asked you to do. You will have power to do what I've commanded you to do. Good news is we see about this empowering of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables believers to live by His power. Galatians 5:16. "I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." That it's possible as Christians for us to walk by the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to empower our lives so that we walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. As we walk according to the Spirit, we please the Lord, we live in His way, we follow His plan for our lives, and we're not out fulfilling the desire of the flesh, thus leading into sin, thus following away from the Lord. So we realize that we can be empowered to live this life. And we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to live this life. Without the Holy Spirit empowering us, it's just not going to happen. One of the things we realize is He's at work in us and is that He convicts the world of sin. John chapter 16, verses 8 to 11. Those may be a little harder to read. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. He convicts the world of sin because he wants to bring about those changes that are there and change our lives. And so if we're not convicted of that sin, then we can't be empowered to be able to live with him because he needs to convict us of sin and bring us to a change in us. And he regenerates the lost to salvation in changing their lives. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the darkness of night, out away from the crowds, and Jesus was talking to him and saying to him, look, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is of Spirit. And it's this work that he brings about in us and with us. Another element that the Holy Spirit is involved in is the Holy Spirit teaches the disciples. All of us who are followers of Jesus Christ are disciples. A disciple is a follower. And as being a follower is one who learns. And learns from the Lord. But the Holy Spirit is that teacher working with us. In John 14:26 says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. There he is to teach us. And as we have that knowledge, he works with that in empowering us so that we know the Lord, we know who our God is and know about him, and we have a relationship with him and we have fellowship with him, and we know what the Lord does and how the Lord works. He uses all of that, I believe, in his empowering of us. But there's a good news, is that the Holy Spirit indwells us. If the Holy Spirit isn't indwelling in us, then it's really hard for him to empower us. But the Holy Spirit indwells us and is there with us. In John 14:16-17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it does not, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. How wonderful that is and how good that is for us, is he is there to empower us. We, the church today, are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit if we're going to do his work. If we're going to be the community of the Spirit working in us and with us, for us to be his people, that we've got to be empowered by that, by the Holy Spirit. And he enables us with his power to walk by the Spirit, to do the work of the Spirit, and not to go the way of the flesh. He convicts us of our sin and brings us to repentance. It's a lot easier for him to use a clean vessel. He desires to use a clean vessel. And so he continues to be at work in us and to convict us of our sin. Because we come to salvation doesn't mean we stop sinning. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be good? You know, just boom, it was all over and done with. Boy, it'd be a much more wonderful world. That's not the case. We continue in sin, and so we need conviction of our sin so that we confess it and receive forgiveness and cleansing from him, so that we are dealing with our sin in that regeneration work that he does in us, so that he can empower us. And his teaching of us, right, as he teaches us and shapes our lives through that instruction. That's why part of the reason we as Baptists for a long time have emphasized Sunday school. Because in Sunday school, from little bitties all the way to our wonderful dear saints of the Lord who have been around a long, long time, we believe in teaching the Word of God. Because as we teach the Word of God, then we get to know our God. We know who He is. We know what He's done. We know how He's worked. We see and hear those stories over and over and over. That's why right now we're currently in this time of listening to the New Testament. And I hope that you've gotten started. If you haven't gotten started, you're not too late. You can still get started listening to the New Testament now through until Easter. And I hope that you're doing that. I think it's going to be interesting. What do you learn? How does the Holy Spirit teach you as you hear the Word of the Lord being spoken over you day by day? But He teaches us so that we may walk with Him. And as He teaches us and we know and we have this knowledge base, He uses that as He empowers us and works with us. And He indwells us, lives with us. I mean, Jesus sent Him. When we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, He sends the Holy Spirit there to be with us, indwelling us. And because He indwells us, He is there with us and can empower us and guide us and work with us and through us. And how wonderful that is for us to know. He does that when it's time to teach a Sunday school lesson, empowering you to teach the Word of God, to be at work there. When you're trying to share your faith with a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, a family member, you're there to do kingdom work and to talk to somebody about Jesus, who has done this incredible work at a cross and an empty tomb and sits at the right hand of the Father to bring salvation and forgiveness of sin and to cleanse. And you're going to talk with them and you're like, I don't know if I can do that. I'm not sure I'm able to do that. Well, yeah, you can do that. But none of us can do that apart from the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit works with us and through us and empowers us to do that. When you're trying to care for a hurting person, you know, it's there are a lot of hurting people. You know, having been a pastor for a long time, been lots of people walk through the doors of the church building over the years wanting help. Some of them very legitimately. Some of them, quite honestly, work in the system. You may be going, well, Pastor, how do you know they're working the system? Because you start calling the other churches and they've been to all of those other places as well. And folks coming in and trying to work. And the great thing about it is the Spirit works not only with our church, but other churches. And then as we do those things together, a lot of times we can do more than we would be able to do by ourselves. Right? It's the great nature of the cooperative program for Baptists, is we give to the cooperative program, and then as Baptists we're able to work together, and we get to send missionaries to Poland and Jordan and all kinds of places all around the world. We wouldn't be able to do that by ourselves. And so we work together. It works the same way when we're trying to do ministry in a local setting. I remember years ago a lady came in, and a young lady, a couple of little kids with her, holding a bill in her hand. And in that small town, there were three churches that would work together and would pull some money to be able to help. And our church was the only one that had consistent office hours, so I saw most of those folks. And the pharmacist in town was a member of one of the other churches, and she was the keeper of the checkbook, and she and I figured out who we helped and how we helped them most of the time. But I never will forgetting to pick up the phone that day to call the pharmacist and say, here's the story. And this lady comes in and has this bill. My husband got hurt and he was off work. And he's back at work now, and we've been able to catch up and take care of every bill but this one, and I don't have enough money to pay it, and it's due. You see, the Holy Spirit had already been at work, because He had worked with three churches that would work together and would give money annually to a fund that provided the opportunity, so when somebody came in like that, we would have some funds to care for that person. And you just had a sense, this lady came in and that day, if we could help her, we'd probably never see her again. And I pastored there a while after that, and we never saw that lady again. Now, that's not always the case. I remember we had one lady came through the door 6 months in a row wanting help. You know, the Holy Spirit is at work to empower us to care for people, to meet people's needs. When you're trying to care for somebody, the Holy Spirit is there helping you to meet needs. Maybe you need to confront a wrong. Confront somebody who's done something wrong. You're going, oh, Pastor, I don't like to do that. I just as soon sweep it under the carpet and go on. You know, the only problem is you sweep enough stuff under the carpet, there's a lump under the carpet sooner or later. And you land on it, and then you have a real mess. But you're like, I don't know about that. Besides that, if I confront them, I'm probably going to have to forgive them, and I'm not real sure I want to do that. Boy, we need the Holy Spirit of God at work in us to empower us to do that, don't we? Raising children. Your children may think you do a terrible job. Just tell them, just think how bad it'd be if it weren't for the Holy Spirit around this place. My children just looked at one another. Oh, no. Maybe you've got to do something new at work, and they've given you a new task. You're like, I don't know if I can do that. That's going to stretch my skills. It's going to challenge me. Do you ever think maybe the Holy Spirit will help you do that? And that when you do that, and they come along and start commending you because you did a good job, you can say, well, let me tell you how I managed to do that. And you give a witness for the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit is at work in us in the church today. We need to let Him be at work in us to do that. Another thing that we see with Jesus and the early church, and then with us as well, is we're confronted by obstacles. Confronted by obstacles. Look at Jesus. One, you've got the temptation. You know, right after the baptism, we find Jesus out in the wilderness, 40 days. Some of you are thinking, well, the biggest temptation was he went 40 days without eating. I wouldn't make it that long. You know, and then the devil comes along and confronts him with those three huge temptations. So we find Jesus a temptation. We find Jesus dealing with physical aggression. You know, there were people in places they wanted to throw him off the cliff. You know, they wanted to do a number of other things like that. They were trying to take him by force, and Jesus would get away. Or confrontational questions. Jesus dealing with confrontational questions and people wanting to confront him, and they were trying to pin him and put him in the corner. As you're listening to the New Testament, and you're going through the Gospels, just listen to that. You know, listen for those questions. And they were asking him questions, and they were trying to confront him with things. And why? So that they could paint him into a corner, and they feel like they've got him, and then they could imprison him and worse. Well, the church, as a community of the Spirit, faces temptation. The early church, there were accusations that were against them. Acts chapter 2, verse 12, they're preaching, and then they're also been given the ability to speak the languages of those that are there, and everybody could hear and understand in their own tongue, it says. And then people mock them and accuse them of being drunk. So here they are doing this great work. I mean, a singular moment in history is taking place, and they're getting accused of being drunk. You know, great. These accusations. Then they get arrested and they are threatened. In Acts chapter 4, the beginning of that, they heal the man that was 40, had been lame. So they arrest them and they threaten them because of the work that they're doing. They have these huge obstacles that they're facing. Acts chapter 5. They are given orders not to preach the gospel. You know, don't you do that? Don't you preach that gospel? Because my golly, that spirit, they wouldn't say this, but that Spirit of God is doing incredible things, and you guys stand up and preach. So quit your preaching. We face obstacles to the work of the Lord today as well. But the Holy Spirit overcomes those obstacles for us. We face obstacles. People. People can be an obstacle to doing the work of the Lord. People. Finances. Let me back up. It could be people because they're opposing us, or it could be people because they don't want the Holy Spirit to use them. But also, with finances. You know, it's frustrating. You always feel like you have to consider finances, isn't it? You know, you're going, well, it's that way at my house. Well, it's that way at my house, too. It's been that way in every church I've ever pastored. You know, I always consider finances and what can we do. The problem is a lot of times we let finances be a bigger obstacle than they should be because we start with there rather than, well, what does God want us to do? And trust that if God shows us what He wants us to do, the Holy Spirit can take care of all of that stuff and trust Him to deal with those. We have an obstacle that, if you haven't noticed, we have a decaying moral climate in our world. And it seems to be getting worse by the day. And it's just terrible. I could think of some other words too. I mean, it's just awful. And it just seems to be sliding that way. And it's one person proposing this that is contrary to Scripture, and then somebody else, and then it's somebody else, and then it's somebody else, and people are going, yeah, that's what we ought to do. And you're going, no, we can't do that. It's against the plan and the purposes of God. Problem is those people don't care that it's against the purposes of God. What obstacles? Man, huge obstacles. But the church has been overcoming obstacles because of the Holy Spirit of God working with the church for centuries. He can do it today too. We just have to trust Him to do that. I mean, we've enjoyed great religious freedom in this country, but I think there are some who'd like to take part of that away. And the leader of your workplace may speak out on a moral issue, but he didn't want anybody at the workplace to address it or talk about it. You don't have the right at your workplace to say what you think about it, but he'll get on TV and talk about it. Maybe go, how do I deal with those things? How do we deal with those obstacles to be the people of God, to be the presence of Christ in our world, to speak for the Lord, to love people in Jesus' name? Well, Jesus had obstacles. The early church had obstacles. The church across the centuries has had obstacles. It's not anything different today. They may be a little different. They may have a different twist in this day and time. But we have to trust that the Spirit of God can work with His people today. He can work with us, Emmanuel Baptist Church, and overcome the obstacles that we may face in our city and in our region and in what we're trying to do and what does He want us to do in this place. And we have to trust Him to do those things as we confront those obstacles that are there. And we also have to realize Jesus was about touching lives, and so was the early church. Jesus proclaims the good news to people of reconciliation, release, and restoration. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Jesus was there to announce reconciliation to people, to bring them into a right relationship with God the Father and with Himself. Release, to release the captives, to set people free from the bondages that were upon them, to bring restoration, to set free the oppressed, to give sight to the blind, to give the proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. The church is also empowered to do those things. The early church, we find them, Acts chapter 4, we find them at work in these many of these same areas. 4 verses 31 to 37, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. That's some prayer service. The place where they gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now early church involved in reconciliation, release, restoration, doing those things. Emmanuel Baptist Church is called to touch lives in our day, in our city, in our region, in our nation, in our world. We are called to do the same things. We have the message, and we must share it. We must share the message of Christ. We can bring release. We've got to care for those who are in captivity, and people are in captivity to all kinds of things, to addictions, slavery, a lack of a language. I mean, just think about it. You know, across the years, this church had a wonderful ministry of English as a second language, and we're going to keep doing that, and some changes coming to that. We're going to move it from Tuesday morning to Wednesday nights, and you're going to see those folks and help us out with those things. You're hear those things. We'll look forward to that. Now, there are people that are in all kinds of captivity because they don't have financial freedom. They're in debt to their eyeballs. They don't know where their next meal's coming from, all of those kinds of things. They need help. You know, the people of God can help with those kinds of things. And part of that, it may be helping get them out, but it's also teaching them how do you function. Caring for the needy. Ongoing, long-term ministry to people. Whether it's helping build houses or provide clothes or provide food, a variety of things like that. Who knows what's there? But we're going to trust the Holy Spirit to show Emmanuel Baptist exactly where do we plug in. What is it that we do beyond what we're already doing? And trust that there's much more for us to do. But we can be a part of touching lives as the Holy Spirit of God works with us and in us and through us. We can't run out there and try to do it all by ourselves. We're going to fall flat on our faces. But we can trust the Holy Spirit to show us. Some of it may be where people are already at work and we can trust the Lord to show us what He is doing and how He wants us to plug into it. And maybe joining with others that are already doing it, and we'll work together with them. Because there's no need to have to go create it and start it all by ourselves. Somebody else is already involved in it, those kinds of things. But touching lives and next to touching lives is concerned with human need. Having a heart that cares about people who are concerned. Jesus reached out to the weak and to the poor, to the rejects. To the weak and the poor and the rejects. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and following, you get a story of the leper and the paralytic. You find Jesus being at work there with those folks. The poor, the sick, the ailing. Jesus ministering to them. Jesus caring for them. And Jesus at work. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and following, we come to the call of Levi, one of the disciples. You may be thinking, well, how does that fit with you, what you're talking about? Well, you got to remember, Levi, Matthew was a tax collector. He may have been well off because he was a tax collector, but he was a reject of society. Nobody liked tax collectors. Not as much as you like to hear the IRS calling you. Uh-oh, what does that mean? Why do I have a letter? That's no fun. What does that mean? I had a friend years ago. He said, I got a letter from the IRS. World, I opened it up. You misfigured your taxes. You owe us, I forget what it was, $18 or something. He said, I didn't even bother to argue. I just wrote the check, put it in the mail, and sent it to him. So, you know, those kinds of things. You know, here's Levi. You know, Levi was there. Got to give us some of that money. Jesus calls him to be a disciple. And then he writes one of our Gospels for us. See what happens when you reach out and you care for the weak and the poor and the rejects? The Spirit of God does stuff in their life and changes their lives. And it brings healing to them and it brings wholeness to them and it brings usefulness for the kingdom of God to them. And then we look in Acts and we find the same thing. The church in Acts is reaching out to people. Acts 3, Peter and John are headed to the temple. There's a man lame from birth. And he was there begging for alms. And they're like, well, we don't have any gold and silver. We don't have any gold and silver. What we have is Jesus, and we'll give Jesus to you. And then he tells him to walk, and he reaches down and grabs him by the hand and pulls him up. And he gets up and he walks. Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35 says there was not a needy person among them. Everybody had their needs met. Acts chapter 6, we find the election of the first deacons because people's needs were not being met. And the widows, there were some widows that were being overlooked. And so they said, we've got to have a way to address this and to care for this. And the Holy Spirit worked with them. And they elected those first deacons to be servants to those folks and to wait on tables and to care for them. And so we see a good resolution that is there. And we see the early church was concerned about human need. Human need can be overwhelming because it's everywhere you look. It can be overwhelming at times. But we have to trust the Holy Spirit of God to work in us and through us as a church to meet human need, to care for people in need. There's plenty of need around. We just have to have compassion for the weak and the poor and those who have been run over by life. And a desire to care for them. A desire to minister to them. A desire to love on them. A desire to meet needs for them. Meeting needs is not always a handout. Meeting needs can be done in a variety of ways. And we've got to trust that the Holy Spirit is creative and can show us how to do those things. We find that Jesus did the work and the Spirit empowered the early church to carry on the work of Christ. And the Spirit is doing the same thing today. The church, the community of the Spirit. It's not one of those images that you think of, much like you think of the body of Christ or Jesus being the head of the church or the bride of Christ. It's not one of those ones that you think of as often, but I have to tell you, I was rather intrigued by it as I said earlier, as I was looking at these images of the church. The community of the Spirit. For we are who we are because allowing the Spirit of God to be at work with us, in us, through us. And I believe deep in my heart, the Holy Spirit wants to do a whole lot of creating a community of believers here known as Emmanuel Baptist Church, and adding to the community new believers and helping those new believers to learn and grow, but working through us to meet human needs, to care for people, to overcome obstacles, to serve and to care. And as He works through us to do that, He's going to grow His kingdom. And people are going to be cared for, and lost people are going to be saved, and people who are in addictions are going to be set free from those addictions, and marriages that are falling apart are going to be restored and put back together. And we'll find ways to minister in our city, in our region, in our nation, and around the world. But we have to be a people who are willing to let the Spirit do the Spirit's work in us and then through us. And we see what Jesus did, and we see what the Holy Spirit enabled that first church to do that matched the works of Jesus and were similar to the works of Jesus. And I'm sure there's a number of other comparisons we could look at and compare. And the same Spirit working there with that first church desires to work with Emmanuel Baptist to do those things and more. The question for us is, are we willing to let Him create us to be a community of the Spirit whom He can use to make a difference? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit.